Welcome back to Hour 3 of the Liberal Patriot Podcast. My name is John Easton, and I am here with Will Cowie.
One more time.
It is December 7th.
Still.
And it's still snowing.
Yeah, lightly, though. A little bit more lightly. Yeah. Got a little bit of cloud breakage, too. So
this is the only kind of North Country weather report that's worth anything. Basically, when you look out your window and say
that's what the weather is, that's what it's doing. That's what it's doing.
So we were talking about the senator from New York, Hillary Rodham.
The junior senator from New York.
Who has presidential ambitions, and she has said privately to Lynch, and he has said publicly that she has said privately, that she supports the New Hampshire First in the Nation primary.
Yeah, it looks like
she's not only pandering to the NASCAR dads, who will never vote for her, but she's also trying to make a move to the right wing. And I was just saying to you over the break that I like her. I think it'd be great to have a woman president. I think that she does have good stance on the issues. My fear is twofold. One, that she's going to take a huge lunge to the right while she's running for and when she gets in the office. And also that her ties to the DLC and to the corporations.
Yeah, that's the worst.
You know, I mean, maybe the new Democratic strategy and philosophy of caring about people again might be able to win her over. But I worry about sending a Democratic DLC-er
to the White House. On the bankruptcy bill? Where was she on that?
I don't know. That's something to, you know, if you can think about something to talk about for about 5 minutes, I could probably look that up.
I ain't got that kind of time. And you're probably not going to like what I got to say. I'm sure the four people left listening ain't going to like what I got to say.
Well, one of the things we were talking about, Democratic backstabbing.
You know, regular politicking.
Yeah.
Something I don't dabble in.
Here's a quote from Fox News' Joe Lieberman, the man I love to hate. And that has nothing to do with my anti-Semitism.
Dino Joe.
I can't be anti-Semitic because I'm non-religious.
Well, your cat's Jewish.
Oh, well, I love him.
Steinberg.
And
Steinberg, the cat.
I believe that the Holocaust happened.
Oh, there's no doubt in my mind.
Well, guess what? A Holocaust denier is going to be making a series on the Holocaust on ABC.
No kidding.
And his name is Mel Gibson.
Cut the shit.
Mel Gibson is going to be producing a television miniseries on the Holocaust.
The Holocaust that didn't happen, you're saying?
That's what he's saying. And basically what happened is when he was making the movie The Passion of the Christ, his dad like made some statements about basically the Holocaust didn't happen. And
for real now?
Yeah. His Mel Gibson's dad said a bunch of stuff about how the Holocaust never happened. And then when Mel Gibson was asked about that, do you believe that bullshit? And Mel was like, well, my dad never lied to me. And another quote.
Well, so what about Santa Claus? What about
and another quote was when people asked him, do you really think that, you know, the Holocaust didn't happen, that the Jews weren't killed? And his answer, I'm paraphrasing, so please look this up or take it with a grain of salt. But what he did say was along these lines was that he has friends with tattoos on their bodies, you know, so they had serial numbers tattooed on there. And so he knows that, you know, he knows about this sort of thing. And he said that, you know, that, well, you know, it was war and lots of people were killed. And, of course, lots of Jews were killed.
Yeah, in ovens. Yeah, so that kind of happens.
Yeah, where's the disclaimer? You know, I mean,
yeah,
the truth of the matter
collateral damage in an oven. Yeah, I'm with you there. I'm with you on
the
that.
The truth of the matter is that saying that Jews were killed by Nazis and that there was a Holocaust is not a controversial statement. Yeah. So the fact that he won't really say it means that he holds a controversial point of view, which he needs to cloak. And what's amazing to me, unless he had some sort of conversion, we're going to have a guy who's essentially a Holocaust denier. And a lot of people complained about The Passion of the Christ, not because of how gruesome it was or because it was in Aramaic, but or because they're atheists. They complained about it because of the fact that it was really anti-Semitic, yeah. You know, that it really kind of blamed the Jews for killing Christ, you know. And
didn't see that coming.
Yeah, this guy is going to, Mel Gibson is going to be making a miniseries on ABC.
Golly. So they're going to let that on there.
So, and this brings us to our,
Margaret has patients with, at least one patient with that tattoo thing.
Really?
Yeah, she says it's pretty scary looking.
So this brings us to Joe Lieberman. As Sam Cedar, who is Jewish, or actually, I don't know if he's a practicing Jew. No, he is. Always says on the Majority Report, Radio Show on Air America, that he demands that Joe Lieberman give his yarmulke back, which he can say he because needs to he's
give
Jewish.
His, and he needs I can't to give, say. He needs to give his D-potty button back because he's not...
Well, a Democrat in name only, Joe Lieberman, says this on Fox News. Of course, he loves to come on Fox News, and they love to have him.
Oh, sure they do.
Lieberman, who the Bush administration has praised repeatedly for his war stance, defended the president, quote, "It's time for Democrats who distrust President Bush to acknowledge he'll be commander-in-chief for 3 more years, the senator said. We undermine the president's credibility at our nation's peril." So that's Joe Lieberman. That's a Democrat. Quote, Democrat. And one of the things you mentioned,
Joe, MoveOn.org is
going to fund a challenger, hopefully.
There's a couple of challenges stuck their head up
there's
out
a,
of the sand.
There's a great place called DumpJoe.org where you can go to learn about how to get rid of Lieberman. One of the things that's interesting, a little bit of history behind Joe Mentum, is that you had mentioned him before, and I said I had something to say about it, but I didn't want to like talk about it right
now. Yeah, you were kind of gagging there for a minute.
Yeah.
Sorry,
choking on my own rage.
Choking on your own patriotic
but
mucus.
Here's a little bit of the history of Joe Mentum, if for people who have been following it. Joe, there was a liberal Republican when such a thing existed. I know most people are like, what in the hell? You know, but once upon a time, there were Republicans. I believe they're called Rockefeller Republicans, who were kind of liberal Republicans.
I'm with you.
And, of course, it wouldn't be strange that a liberal Republican would exist in New England, not in New Hampshire, obviously. He was a liberal Republican in Connecticut, and Joe Mentum, beat him as a Democrat by running to the right. So what we had is we had a Democrat running to the right of a Republican, and that's how we beat him.
Wow.
And that's kind of the history of Joe, is that he was kind of a Democrat more conservative than the Republican, and that's how he won.
Huh.
And so he's been somewhat consistent. What he's been inconsistent with is that he has constantly stabbed his party in the back.
Yeah,
recently, after he made this little statement on Fox News that by distrusting the president, we hurt our nation. He then went on to say some negative things about Clinton when he was president. So I guess, you know.
He, in Lieberman's book a few years back, I think, Public Service, or whatever it was.
I hate myself and want
to die. Oh, my God, this guy, he as much as Danderson's head was in Gregg's ass, Lieberman was so, every other page he was trying to distance himself and cast aspersions upon Clinton. It was, and Gore, it was painful to read. I got through it. It was only a few pages, but I mean, it was just painful to read.
Right.
And you just see how he come, one or two pages he admits about dabbling in the poetry of accepting corporate money. And he says, basically, you have to do it at that point.
Right.
But I don't think you do.
Well, one of the things that Paul Wellstone said, and I wanted to mention it to you earlier. It was really interesting. That was.
Is it on that poster that Susan Bruce gave you that's hanging up in our studio right now?
No, it isn't.
That quote? No.
No. Okay. But one of the things that he said, paraphrasing again, which the director of Camp Wellstone or Wellstone Action, I guess, was mentioning, is that. Well, Paul Wellstone was against the corporations and corporate funding and the big money. He wanted to take the money out of politics. But
right.
One of the things they teach their people at their training sessions is that, yes, you know, we want to get this money out of politics, but this is the game, and you have to play it to get in there.
Right.
If you want to get in there and change things, you're going to have to get the money.
Well, Vermont, Massachusetts, there's 4 or 5
I think,
states.
Was it Maine?
Maine.
Somebody just changed
Maine,
over.
Maine, yep.
Maybe it was Connecticut, actually.
Connecticut. Somebody clean elections, clean
publicly
money.
Funded elections.
Yep, that's, I'm down with that.
I know that...
absolutely, 100%.
The common sense people and also some libertarian types will think that, why should we be paying yahoos to run against each other? You know, why should the government be funding these? But you have to look beyond your gut reaction to the idea of funding elections and think of it this way. If everyone gets the same amount of money and everyone starts at the same line and everyone runs the same race, hopefully the best person will win.
That's right. It's going to be very difficult to buy the election.
Right. If it is forbidden.
I mean, Chuck Schumer, he bought his a few years back.
Right. Bloomberg.
Bloomberg bought
his. He just bought his election. He spent $118 per vote.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Yeah. And all I think of is those suckers who voted for him. Where's your check?
Yeah.
Where's your check?
Yeah.
You know? But that's the situation. It may kind of, you know, it may suck to, in a lot of people's eyes, to pay our elected officials money. especially when they do such a horrible job for us. But if we don't give them, quote, a living wage or a decent part-time salary, they're going to find other ways to get money out of the government. And also, a different kind of person is going to gravitate towards that kind of position.
Now, that being said, Congress just gave itself a raise not too long
ago. $3,100. And to be totally inconsistent and hypocritical, I badmouth them for that.
Good. But there's a young gal. I signed one of my nomination papers the other day. One of those same nomination papers that one of our state representatives, Bill Remick, did not sign for
piece
me. Anyway,
shit.
Yeah.
Fucking piece of shit.
Anyway, she's complaining about the minimum wage. She said, I can't do this on a minimum wage.
Right.
She said, I can't do my job.
Right. So and it is.
John Gallus last session voted again for the third time.
And these
voted
issues
against the minimum wage increase.
These issues don't exist in a vacuum. So
yeah.
You know,
yeah, I don't make this shit up.
When well, not just that is that you know I you know if you want to ask me about how I feel about elected officials being paid, I think they should be paid a good wage so that a regular person could have the job. But on the flip side, before our whores in Washington, D.C., begin giving themselves raises, shouldn't they demand that working people, people who wake up and work jobs that they would never do in a million years, shouldn't they be paid enough money so they can feed themselves?
Yeah. Read Bob Reichenreich,
Nickel and Dime in America.
Oh, my God, that'll make you cry.
So one of the things that's kind of maybe it's a hidden thread through all of our jabbering is consistency.
There's no consistency here.
Oh, there is. I see.
There'll be no consistency. There'll be no accountability in the Bush administration. There'll be no consistency in this room, mister.
Well, I think that is the message of
today's
podcast.
We're consistently inconsistent. I guess we are consistent.
I have your knob right here. I'm going to turn you down, and we will have some consistency.
We conform to nonconformity. Wait a minute.
But one of the things...
Get off my knob.
I want to think that's interesting is that, that you... I wanted to play a sound effect, and by the time I realized it, I derailed myself.
Go ahead, throw it in there. Let's see what you got. Let's just see what you got.
Three simple words. I am gay.
Get off my knob.
Be true to yourself, there, buddy.
But one of the issues I think that runs through this is that we would like to see the Democratic Party stand up and have some backbone, particularly Democratic politicians. But we do not want them to be a lockstep group.
Exactly. Right.
So,
exactly.
I mean, we do not want to become the good version of the Republican Party in the sense that here is
Republican light, as Paul Robitaille, COAS County chairman, said to me. Republican light.
Here's the issue is that, you know, I mean, if the Democratic Party sets good, like if the Democratic Party decides to actually set a policy for the entire party that they will support unions and labor and that anybody who doesn't is going to get kind of shut out, we might think, well, that's great. And I do think that's great. But what happens if the Democratic Party decides that we're going to stay in Iraq till the job is done? Then those of us...
There's no alternative for people to look. When they look at that, they'll say, so you're telling me if I vote for you, I still have no alternative.
Right. Then what happens is that, you know, that 60% of America has no party that represents their beliefs. So I do believe in the big tent philosophy where that Democrats within the party should have their own points of view and their own, you know. And it makes sense strategically that someone who's a Democrat in Louisiana needs to be able to have a different set of convictions than someone who's a Democrat in New York State. But what we're looking for is not uniformity but convictions, you know.
But on certain issues, uniformity as far as allowing alternative party access without going through all kinds of hoops. Uniformity there. Open it up to the party of the people. Open it up to the people. Uniformity on a minimum wage. Increase.
Well,
uniformity on an exit strategy for Iraq.
Well, I don't think so much uniformity, but I also don't think that you should have Joe Mentum-type Democrats who undercut the entire party. Like Nancy Pelosi has done some good things recently, but one of the really horrid things she did was she undercut a overall message for the party to support her own backyard.
Mm-hmm.
Arnold Schwarzenegger, who is a political girly man.
Arnold.
The second or third least popular governor in the United States. He had proposed something, and he did this mainly because Democrats control
every
part of the state of California, pretty much. And so this would benefit the Republican Party. If there was a return to fairness in California, it would benefit the Republican Party. Because one of the things that parties do when they take control of a state and they have a large majority, like the Republicans do here in New Hampshire, is they get to draw the congressional districts any damn way they want.
Any way they want.
And they draw them to benefit themselves. They are not. None of them are interested in drawing districts that are evenly split between Republicans and Democrats, where you have fair, tough races. They want to draw districts.
They have to actually get out and earn the vote.
Right. They want to draw as many districts as possible that are solidly their party.
Right.
And then they'll fight over what's left. So that's what's going on in California, because it's they've had the majority there in the legislature and also in the federal level. What Arnold proposed is having a nonpartisan committee.
Yeah.
That was somehow appointed or chosen or whatever. So it would be very nonpartisan, independent, that would draw the districts based on very nonpartisan criteria. And I do believe then after a lot of different progressive people looked at this proposal that it was fair-handed.
Right.
Because being fair in California would benefit the Republicans, just like being fair in New Hampshire would benefit the Democrats. And what it would ensure is that you would have more competitive districts. And everyone, every voter wants that, even Democratic voters.
Oh,
like,
sure.
You know, it sucks to be a Democratic voter in a Republican district or a Republican voter in a Democratic district because they draw the line so lopsided.
Hey, you're never going to win. You know what's even worse?
What?
To be an independent candidate anywhere on the frickin' planet.
There isn't – what's that?
Well, Niobium, I read a comment that she made this morning, and yes, so she now realizes that I'm an independent state senate candidate
what
for
is,
New Hampshire District 1.
What is an independent? You know,
well,
it's spelled
a lot differently than Republican and Democrat.
This goes to that issue in a way, but what happened is that what we had was probably a fair policy of redistricting, which would have benefited the Republicans, but would have really have been fair. Nancy Pelosi blasted it.
Yeah.
Now, she's a Democrat, and she has every right to do that, and probably has an obligation to do that. But here's the issue where it hurts the party, the national party, is that the Republicans have done unfair redistricting in Texas and Georgia and Florida and a bazillion other states.
And DeLay's all upset because they're saying now, Austin has a long memory here. Memory like, say, an elephant, but it has a long memory, so he knows he is screwed. He thinks he's screwed. He's not going to get a fair shake in Austin.
36% would vote for him in the next
election.
Because
the way they cut his, the way he cut his constituency's throat.
The Democratic challenger is actually quite ahead in the polls versus DeLay if he gets to run again, if he runs again.
I'm saying
is that when she did that, when she spoke out against this legislation, which it was one of the referendums that did get voted down.
Yes.
Yeah. It was undercutting. Slightly, a lot less than Joe Mentum does, an overall Democratic strategy. If you want to be a anti-choice Democrat, that's fine. You don't get to go on Fox News and on national programs and blast the Democrats for being pro-choice. And this is the kind of party unity I think we can have while we have diverse points of views and diverse convictions. You want to go to your state and your place and talk about your issues? Fine. But there's going to be some trade-offs where it's like, you be quiet or careful about your position on this because you're not going to undercut the entire because that's could been a huge issue for Democratic Party is electoral fairness, you know, could have cut across party lines. And having that happen in California, a democratically controlled state, saying, look, we're fair in our own backyard. It's time for fairness.
What I see, it's not, no matter what these party leadership tells you, it's not fairness for the people, it's fairness for the party. Recently, I understood there was a meeting with a few House Caucus leaderships down in Concord with a supposed nonpartisan
third largest brothel,
in the United States. Right. But they get paid the least. Those hoes down there get paid the least. But anyway, they weren't looking for this group. Matter of fact, they held this group to the feet to the fire, saying, "You will not support or will not endorse any candidate that's not a Democrat."
Mm-hmm.
So they're not looking for fairness in the entire electorate. They're looking for fairness if the fairness benefits the party. So that's that's a load of shit. That's a load of crap.
And a lot of really good and solidly Democratic electoral reforms are being resisted by both parties.
Yeah.
You know, the thing about it is now that Democrats are in the minority in some states, like Arizona, for example, when Arizona adopted its clean elections, which they sold to the populace as a very kind of libertarian prospect. Like, this is going to make it all even. Anybody. Thing about it is that you don't, not everybody who wants to run gets a check. You got to prove you got popular support,
right,
and you kind of qualify for more and more public funding. And what they did is the state legislature and the state, and maybe even the governor, but they elected like a whole truckload of Democrats, because all of a sudden you didn't have all this corporate money throwing right in Republicans.
Yeah,
you know, and the Republicans weren't able to buy the votes and buy the publicity and buy
and the
people.
Democrats were in better place for the to get out the grassroots message.
But
and,
what you,
and better coordinated for the grassroots.
But
message.
What you have is that where Democrats have their control, they don't want these clean things. They don't want clean elections. They don't want. They want it. That, you know. It, thing about it is when Shaheen ran against
Sununu.
She raised $5.2 or $3 million against his $3.2 million. One of the things when people talk about New Hampshire being the first in the nation, you'll hear them say, but when the national candidates come here and do fundraisers, they raise so much money for us.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's what it is.
It's
yeah.
all
hey, here's
about
one,
the money.
Here's one. Get rid of the straight party ticket option in, yeah. in New Hampshire. There's only 11 Absolutely. Or 14 states.
Absolutely. But you will not have either party support
no,
that.
No,
the, neither.
No. Like, some of them...
Some Democrats might.
You know, some Democrats like a forward-thinking Scott Merrick or somebody like that would. But
yeah.
these other Jane Clemenses and Edgar Mears, they would not no way support
and,
that.
And got, and for Democrat...
Which is a shame.
Democrat districts.
Right.
You know, you have a rep from a Democrat district.
You look at,
like,
you look
no
at
way.
Manchester, yeah.
No way.
Oh, yeah. Well, Manchester anymore because Bob Baines got his lunch handed to him by... Frank Ginta.
One of the you did mention Tom DeLay, and I wanted to bring this up after we kind of had that little discussion there, is that one of the reasons Tom DeLay is so hurt, and one of the reasons
why, hurt like he hurt his feelings or
electorally
hurt as is electorally. Okay, yeah. I was going to say if he was feeling bad about himself,
is that not only was he had such a position of authority in the party because he was corrupt as the day is long, and he was taking all kinds of money and spreading it around to everybody.
Hey, this is still alleged corruption.
Okay.
Just for that,
if you say so.
For that, hey, I didn't say so.
But
I was just quoting.
The other reason
now I'm just
kidding. Why DeLay's in a bad position is that when he redistrict to add, and people should know that people who think that the Republican Party, at least in the past election, was so incredibly powerful, the only House seats that the Republicans picked up were the five in Texas, which were totally because of the fact that...
Gerrymandering. It's called gerrymandering.
Right. And basically what you do is you redraw the districts,
yep.
and there are some funky ones. You want to look at
Texas. It looks like a snake. Yeah, the
you
one said, going through Austin is like split up all
right,
kinds
it'll
of
cut,
different ways.
It cuts through towns. You had... One of the things that happened is a Democrat who lost, who was a House rep, congressman, had been redistricted three times, and in the last three elections... He had run in three separate districts.
How crazy!
This last election, he had to move because they redistricted his house out of his district. He ran in like he had to run in a totally new district. But what they do is that they draw the maps so that based on what they understand the population to be, that it has an overwhelming majority.
Right.
And one of the reasons why Tom DeLay, before all this corruption, was going to have a rough run, or at least a not an easy run, is that he had sacrificed some of his own district to help out other Republicans.
Right.
And so that's one of the reasons why he was such a power guy, is that, and the only seats that the Republicans picked up in the House and the Congress were the five in Texas, totally thanks to
So DeLay not only bent backwards for his party, but he pretty much bent forwards for the people in Texas.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Right.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Three simple words. I am gay.
Yeah, well, see, you go on about that I am gay thing. You know, you can have, from what I understand from a few of my Republican righty operatives.
Praise the Lord!
And matter of fact, that's right, exactly. From my Republican righty operatives, they say that just because you have sex with a man doesn't mean you're gay. I mean,
that's
if
right.
you were a man having sex with a man, it might mean you were gay. But they say that as far as Mark Seidensteiger goes... having sex with Boy Scouts and getting caught at it, you know, that's a horse of a different color. You have a horse?
No, I don't. that's the best I could do. We need to expand our template of sounds.
I want to hear the cat fight. I mean, not this cat fight, but
You're talking about Condi versus Clinton.
Condi versus Hillary. That's what I want
to
see.
No, not me. That's when I need to marry a citizen of another country.
Yeah.
If I need to get out of here.
Really?
Condi versus Condi?
Oh no, I can't. Well, my aunt says she's qualified because she is a concert pianist. Yeah, I don't know if that's on the application for president.
You know,
I'm still saying when Cheney has his heart attack and I know he's due for one. Matter of fact, is he still alive, this guy Cheney?
Sure, I have a sound clip of him right here.
Yeah, it doesn't mean he's alive.
That was basically Cheney saying hello and good morning.
Him talking to the CFR the other day.
It's hard for him to talk through the foam and the locked jaw.
I hear you.
But I think the worst thing about seeing Condi run for president would be watching all the conservatives say that the Democrats were racist because they wouldn't vote for a black woman because she's a horrible person.
Oh, you could see, yeah.
That's exactly what they do. That's what they do when they throw up a minority for any position, is that if you try to look at that person not as a minority but simply as a person who has crappy issues, racist.
She's wrapped into it all in one. She's a black woman running for president. That she's got it all in one. Yeah. She's the entire package. Yeah. How on earth is the racist party of the right going to support her? They would never be able to live it down.
That's the thing is that maybe
the racist self.
Maybe not New England, but the Republican Party depends on racism, and they would lose a lot of their base if they put up a black man. If they put up Colin Powell, that's not the Republican Party of George Bush.
Yeah, I'd vote for that guy. I still like Colin. I still like the general.
If they put up Colin Powell or Condi, they'd have to count on Democrats switching over and voting Republican.
Well, that's you'd think they'd do that first. Well, like with Lynch, you know, a lot of them voted for him, but they didn't tell anybody.
Right.
So I think that's how it was going to be.
So I think we talked about most of the issues.
Yeah, what's
today?
Niobium got to say? I'm on her today. She didn't realize I was running for state senator. I think she's like the only one that reads, the only one of six people.
Well,
that
read no one knows you're running for state senator.
I think you're right.
Well,
what a shame. I gotta expose myself. I gotta get some exposure out here.
You try to get on the blog and like covertly let people know, and they have no idea.
They still don't have a clue.
So you need to put a post on there. Damn. Will Cowie, independent for state senate.
Maybe I'll just do that.
And then, you know, our 20 weekly reader or daily readers will know.
No one knows, but she don't care anymore.
Well, the people on Democracy for New Hampshire's website don't even know.
Yeah, no, they don't.
They have to take you down.
I took them down. I took my stuff down. Did you go on there?
No, but I figured.
I took my shit down. Because they can't. They said I'm too much of a loose cannon. I think Jane Clemens told him we better take him down because he's an independent. He's not a Democrat.
Yeah.
The DFNH, the 501c3 527 arm of the NHDP.
Yeah.
You know.
How many independent candidates are they supporting?
Right now, I think for the state elections, I don't think any. But then again, I don't know.
National?
But then again, I don't know because I don't have contact with those people anymore. So those people, them or the. Their relatives in the NHDP.
Was it the flag burning issue that sunk you with them?
Me, that I supported the, that I opposed the which one now?
Do you know?
What the hell are we talking about?
Well, what side of the flag burning?
Me, I would, you're not going to like this, but I would support a constitutional amendment against burning the flag. So if you want a flag to burn, I'll get you a UN flag. Thanks, though.
No, I don't support burning any flag. I just don't support
total
political
ruling against that.
Political
cynicism.
I can
understand that. But for me, I wouldn't be. I'm not cynical about it. I'm not cynicistic about it. Whatever. I've always been a military guy, and I'm a Legion guy now. So I wouldn't support, you know, again, it's a freedom of speech thing if that's the issue you want.
Well, it doesn't
make.
Matter who supports the issue because it's going to be shot down by
but
the
But it
Supreme
is,
Court.
And it will. And But for Hillary to jump on an issue like that, I mean, it's just how openly blatant can you be?
Well, here's a good...
Just trying... I mean, your husband got out of military service.
Well, here's a good policy for
was
people.
Was he the one with the ass cyst or was that Rush Limbaugh? I think it was
Rush
Limbaugh.
Had
right,
the
yeah,
ass
okay.
cyst.
Yeah, maybe Clinton had flat feet and didn't inhale. I don't know, one of the two. But
here's a good policy for anybody. Okay, we can make burning the flag illegal, but first make sure that children, poor children have medical care. And,
yeah, I don't have a problem
with that. And that let's make sure people get a living wage and that unions are expanded. And,
I agree. And we're still working on the plan for the for an optional.
But see, that's
to fill in where the state and the federal government falls apart, and for health security assurance plan for me.
But that's what happens.
Optional, mind you.
That's what happens with the Republican Party is that they're not about the issues; they're about avoiding the issues. The Democrats choose to avoid the issues by not taking any position on them. The Republicans are slicker. They avoid the issues by creating other issues that people that they can distract people with. So when we had severe problems, they were really hoping Terry Schiavo would have been the way out of that. That blew up in their faces, and that was really the beginning of the Bush fall. Terry Schiavo blew up.
I think the beginning of the Bush fall was when he stole he stole the election, but the Supreme Court stole the election for him.
Yeah.
And they shouldn't have even heard the case.
Yeah.
But on that note, I got to get my window because.
Okay. Well, we got to get out of here. So, those of you listening at home are going to have to start an argument with yourself and talk a lot and make no sense.
That's right. Hey, look at you guys want to support my candidacy, my independence candidacy for state senate. You can get a hold of John from the blog.
Yeah, send an email to the Liberal Patriot Blogspot.
We'll let you know how to do that. And $75 personal donations max, so no corporate money. But that's the right. $75 could actually be $100 if you want it. I won't tell anybody.
I think you just told them.
Yeah, it's okay. Who listens to this?
Holy shit, we're all
ready. Yeah, buddy. We're out. Peace out.
You can also send coffee. We take coffee as a form of currency.
We won't inhale that either.
No. If you're a Democrat, you may have to get permission from your local Democratic leadership.
Yeah.
And you might also ask them how you feel about everything else in your life, too, so they can get you all straight.
Let you know if they agree with what you feel about yourself. That's what I'm
saying. This is a message to, you know who you are.
We know who he is. Would that be the other side of the hill in Berlin?
You mean Bill Remick?
No, he's the other side of the hill in Lancaster.
Yeah.
He's going to sign one of those.
I wish he was the other side of the river.
50 feet in the middle of the river, you mean?
No, I don't want to threaten anybody. I'm too weak to carry out any threats.
Take it easy, everybody.
All I'm qualified to do is drink espresso.